You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hey, it's BTG. This is Rob, that's Jason. This is 263, June 12th. It's a Monday. Hi, everybody. We're just mixing it up this time. Doing it different. Getting right to the point, Jason. Getting to the point. That's what I'm talking about. Getting stuff done or being efficient.
Getting it.
Yeah. It's that day. Just trying to get to the point, and then I totally lost my track.
Forgot what the point was.
Yeah, the Saloon Tycoon Kickstarter is wrapping up right now. Sorry, the ranch expansion for Saloon Tycoon. That Kickstarter is wrapping up right now. If you guys are listening to this on the day before we actually officially date the show, then you still probably have a little bit of time. But at this point, I'm sure we've probably funded by now, I think. Feel pretty good about that.
Don't be a dick. You funded in like an hour and 10 minutes or something.
It was 2 hours. It was just like, it was like a touch under 2 hours we funded.
I like that it was 2 hours. Well, I mean, it was touch under.
Just a touch under.
Make sure to clarify that.
It was just a couple of minutes under 2 hours. Thank you, builders, for all your support with the ranch expansion. I really think you guys are going to like it a lot. I know AJ and Evan worked a lot harder on it than I did. Let's be honest, you know? thank you so much for your support. Really, truly. Thank you very much. I am touched and I am humbled by the outpouring of love for that game. So thanks so much, guys. How are you, Jason?
I am just snappy today.
Snappy? You don't
feeling
seem
good.
You're snapping, but you don't seem snappy.
Yeah.
No. What's got you down, man?
I didn't say snappy.
You just
like snippy. Snappy, like snabba-dabba-dabba. Yeah, I just feel great.
But you're not snappy at all.
No, I'm not.
You're never snappy. You're not a snappy guy. Get a couple of white Russians in you or a couple old fashions, then you'll get snappy.
It's true. Then I can be very snappy.
Yeah. And snippy.
They go together.
It's true.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What's been occupying your time?
Oh gosh, too much stuff. I've been working on a new game that I'm protoing to show to someone at Origins.
Is it that Jump the Shark nonsense?
I'm working on that, but I'm not prototyping that yet.
Okay.
So I need to get this. I have to finish this other game because I promised that I would show it to someone at Origins. So I have to have it ready
to actually make a prototype. Yeah. Actually, I had to actually come up with a game.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to pitch that game before Origins.
Okay.
So because I'm sure I'll need a game to pitch.
When is Origins?
I don't know. What, 2 weeks from today? Or, yeah. Well, no. It just ended 2 weeks from today. No. From the not recording. Like, but 2 weeks from when you're listening to this. I don't know. June something. Mid-June?
Mid-June?
Mid-June.
All right. This might be the last episode before Origins. I'm honestly
not
sure.
Let me check their super terrible website and see. Hey, do you work at Origins? Are you listening to this? I hate your website.
It's been bad for years. It's true. I'm not going to go to Origins this year. It's just not in the budget for me, unfortunately. But next year, I'll be back. I'll be back next year. I hope everybody has a good time without me. I hope Jason has a miserable time without me, though.
Well, I'm going to be working the whole time, so.
Yeah, so. But that's not going to be miserable because you're going to be at the Grand Gamers Guild booth and you're going to be talking to people about Unreal Estate. You're going to be hanging out with Mark and Corinne and Heather, and it's going to be the best.
I was pointing out I won't miss you because I'll be working the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're gonna hang out with people in the evenings and play some games and probably have some beers, and that's gonna be
probably
great.
It's June 14th through the 18th.
Okay, this weekend. It's this weekend.
This weekend.
This coming weekend, as of when the show posts, it's this coming weekend. I hope you have a good time at Origins, Jason.
Me too.
I can't wait to hear all about it next week when you return. Well, are you going to be recording something while you're at Origins?
Don't put that kind of responsibility on me.
I'm just asking the question. I think
no, because logistically, I couldn't get it back in time to you. We're going to end up recording before Origins again, Rob.
I guess we're going to have to, aren't we? Yeah. So, all right.
Well, 2 weeks from now is when we'd be recording.
Right.
Which is the week before, which is when this posts.
Right. So
it's like it works that way for 262 episodes.
So that means we're not going to get your hot takes on the Origins experience for a couple of more weeks.
I will try to record a bonus episode while I'm there.
You should totally do that. Yeah. That would be awesome.
You and I know send the builders, you with that stupid recorder thing?
I would love to send you with that
or
stupid
recorder. Or do you want me to use my phone?
Either way is fine, man.
Maybe I should use my phone.
Okay.
Because then I don't have to take the stupid recorder thing.
It's actually not stupid. It works pretty well. We've been real happy with the service that has provided us for years now.
Yes, whoever made that
it's a Tascam box.
Tascam, yeah.
I don't recall.
Sponsored by Tascam.
I don't recall what the model is or anything, but it's a really nice recorder. It was cheap too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all things considered, I remember it being pretty inexpensive.
So here's something that's been concerning me lately.
Talk to me. Share, Jason.
Several people we know have said they listen to podcasts and ours in as well as that at 1.5 speed.
I've heard people say that.
What is with that?
I don't think I could handle that.
Listen, jerk holes.
Whoa, a little angry here.
You, we work on this comedic timing. This is a thing. The pauses are on purpose. They are built in to do stuff. And you guys and your 1.5 speed are ruining it.
Yeah, that's a lie, though. We don't work on any of this stuff.
That's not true.
We went out to lunch today at work and said, oh, we need to come up with topics. And then we had milkshakes.
Remember that we had an interview, and then we came up with one topic and had milkshakes. Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
But anyways,
it was a good milkshake too, man.
You guys aren't jerk holes, but I could not handle that. Literally couldn't handle.
No.
That.
I couldn't do that. And I think I've said before, I like long podcasts.
Right.
I like a nice long podcast that's going to take me 3.5-4 hours to get through.
Yeah,
that's my jam right there.
No.
Yeah, I love that.
Here's a question for you.
Okay. Question, go.
Builders out there.
Not for me.
All
builders.
You builders out there.
Listen.
Listen.
Hey, all you builders out there.
Listen. If you are somebody that listens to the show on 1.5 speed, do me a favor. Call in and tell me all about it. And Rob is going to play your thing back on 1.5 speed.
I don't know that I can do that, actually, in
Figure
Audacity.
It out. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how to do that, man.
Well, yeah. So anyways, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
If you listen to us on 1.5 speed, I wonder what that sounds like, because it doesn't, obviously my voice doesn't pitch up.
No.
Because they said that 1.5 isn't really enough to pitch your voice up.
It's not that big a distortion. No.
But 2 probably is,
because
right?
I've hit that setting on my phone before and not realized it and been like, oh, I wonder if something's up with the audio gear this time. Then I'll get like 10 minutes in and go, yeah, something's just weird on this podcast. And then I'll realize that I accidentally hit that button.
I think it's funny you've done that more than once.
A couple of times. You know what? The iPhone interface sucks.
Yeah, it does.
iPhones are terrible. You know what else is awesome?
I love iPhones, but you know their interface
the
sucks.
Other thing that's terrible about the iPhone now, the no headphone jack nonsense. What is that garbage? Okay, that's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of crap. I don't want to have to carry a dongle around everywhere.
Yeah, you don't have to, Rob, if you just get with the 17th century and get Bluetooth.
Look, I have Bluetooth headphones, but I don't want to have to buy two pairs of Bluetooth headphones, and I don't want to have to lug my single pair of Bluetooth headphones back and forth between work and home.
You used to walk around. You used to walk around with your headphones in your pocket all the time.
I never did that.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
In a little bag.
What are you talking about?
You totally used to do that.
No.
You
never
did.
Never. In my no, when I would carry my shoulder bag, sure, I would have those in there.
You always
my Timbuktu, yeah, but not never in my pocket. No, that's ridiculous. Why would I do that?
I saw you bring them to work back and forth multiple times.
Yeah, well, so there may have been a few times when I took him back and forth to work because I felt like I needed them at home or something. But now that I have two pair, well, eventually, anyway.
You don't need two Bluetooth ones. Get Bluetooth ones for work and keep your dongle at home where it belongs. I can just picture the title of this one went off the rails.
No, I
sorry guys,
I bought a nice pair of Bluetooth like over the ear headphones similar to the cans we're using right now, but Bluetooth, and I like those for when I'm mowing the lawn actually at home. Those are really nice.
Okay.
And I bought that electric lawnmower, so it's super quiet.
Yeah,
because when I had that crappy old like gasoline powered there was no I couldn't hear anything, right? So now that the electric one's quiet, it's like fan, and so I can actually listen to podcasts, and it's great. Now I actually really enjoy mowing the lawn. And I kind of wish my lawn was a little bit bigger.
Got to be honest, I'm done with this part of the conversation. This is getting boring. So let's move on. Listen, before we talk about anything game related, I have something that occurred to me today, and I have to bring it up to you. It's about you. And it's not a criticism, but it's a revelation.
Okay.
And I was going to tell you at lunch, but I thought, no, I'm a jerk. I'm going to say it on the
show. Jason, I got to be honest. I'm kind of done with this part of the conversation. So let's move on to talk about games.
No. So it's an interesting revelation about you. Right. And this is, and I'm just curious if you know this about yourself.
Okay.
So you have one of the most consistent, predictable walk sounds of any person I've ever met.
Walk sounds, like the way
sound,
I walk?
The way you walk.
Really?
If I am in a room and you walk in, I know it's you before I even see you.
Really?
Yes. Every single time. You walk in the exact same pattern. Exact same pattern.
I mean, so it's not just like left foot, right
no,
foot?
No, it is the exact sound. Like, I can't do it. I bet as soon as I hear it, I'm like, that's Rob.
You don't think it's just the sound of my shoes or the pair of shoes that
no,
I have?
No, because I realized that I've been able to predict that it was you walking into a room for probably 10 years now.
Hmm. Interesting.
You have a very specific way that you walk.
Is it like a strut? Do I have a strut?
I don't know.
Is it like a Monty Python style?
You kind of swing your arms a certain way that I don't understand, but like... But that's not what, I mean,
that's not,
blindfolded, that's a, I can tell it's you just by the way your feet hit the ground and the pattern that they do. Because everyone walks different, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, and I pay attention to how people walk,
like
the sound it makes. But for you, you're the only one where every time I'm like, it's Rob.
And you don't think this is just an artifact of the fact that we've known each other for way too long?
It could be, but I honestly don't think I could predict it when it was my wife.
Really?
Compared to your walking.
You don't think so?
I feel
like there's some way we should be able to test this.
The only way I would know is my wife is if her ankle was clicking, because her ankle clicks if she's not wearing shoes.
Huh.
So
we should set up some kind of scientific experiment, and it should be me and your wife and Will.
Here's the problem. It's not double blind. You know.
Well, and then like three other people, two other men and another woman, and see if you can pick us out.
But you know that we're testing, which means you, the observer effect is now in place. Good luck walking without thinking about that. And that was really what I wanted to do for you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. No, I mean, everybody, whatever. Everybody has everything distinct about them, right? The way they talk and the way they breathe and the way that, I get that. I don't generally think about my walk.
Right. Well, I just have noticed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've called you out on your speech patterns before too, right?
Yeah. So this is fair.
Sure. Totally. Yeah. It's totally fair.
And this is something no one else would ever notice.
Yeah. Right. Cause we're not recording the sound of me walking on this podcast. Right. So maybe this should be an experiment.
It's a great idea. Let's do that. That's what listeners want to hear.
A little audio tour
of Rob walking.
Of the way my feet. I have very flat feet, by the way.
Maybe that's part of the
reason. It could be part of it. A distinctive. I have very, very flat feet. I have a lot of foot pain. My feet get tired and ache a lot. I spent last year in 2016, I spent about $400 on custom insoles.
Yeah.
That just turned my foot pain from really annoying to blood-curdlingly intolerable, like the worst pain. Like it was like I spent $400 to have somebody bind my feet, you know, like the ancient like Chinese foot binding garbage, you know, but bind them around sharp spikes covered in razor blades.
Do you have like plantar fasciitis? Is that
no?
Okay, because I'm pretty sure that's what I have.
Okay.
But I got good shoes, and you know what happened? That stopped hurting, and now a different part of my foot hurts.
Yeah.
So I was like, thanks, shoes.
Yeah.
But I thought about getting those insoles, but now you're telling me that you didn't like them.
See, my brother got some. That's why I went out and got them, because my brother has flat feet as well, and he got insoles, and he said it changed his whole life.
It did for you, too. Just in a bad way.
But he said, like, not only did his feet stop hurting, but his back stopped hurting.
And right. That makes sense.
Yeah, and he felt fantastic. And so I was like, all right, well, I mean, this is expensive, but it helped my brother, so I'm going to give it a shot. And it was intolerable pain at all times. Anyway, best insoles I've ever bought are the $20 ones you can get at the department or the grocery store here, Meijer.
Really?
Yeah, best insoles I've ever bought.
Nice. Good to know. That's the kind I would probably buy.
Yeah. You go to the little machine that, with the pressure thing, you stand on it and it pretends to do something, and then it recommends A3 or something.
It really just weighs you and it's like, yeah, this is probably good.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know what it, if it does actually, but anyway, so
cool.
Those are the best. Those are the ones I use now.
All right.
Hey, I played a couple of games lately that I want to talk about real quick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The games.
Let's
talk about games.
We had some friends over and we got some new stuff to the table that I hadn't played before. So first of all, at Gen Con last year, I think it was at the Rather Dashing booth, I picked up a copy of Four Taverns because that game is super fun.
It is.
And I played that before, but they were having a deal, like a buy one, get one free thing. And so I also picked up their game, which I think is called Ghosts, Graveyards, and Haunted Houses.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I liked, you know, it's a little ghost game. I'm kind of a sucker for haunted houses and ghost stuff. And it was looked like just a real simple tile placement game. And I grabbed that just because, like, you know, the girl behind the counter explained it to me, and it seemed kind of silly and cute. And so I grabbed it too because it was free, right? So why the heck not?
Yeah.
So we finally busted that out. It was still in shrink wrap, so tiles unpunched and everything. It's really sad. I like punching out tiles, you know?
I just get annoyed.
Really?
I'm like, come on, can I just play this stinking game already?
Yeah. Anyway, it's basically area control a little bit, but it's not even that complicated. You shuffle up the tiles. Everybody has a specific color of ghost. Goes up to four players, right? You know, and so you want to, and you're laying down tiles, and every tile has has four ghosts on it, okay, of various colors, of the four different colors. And you might have a tile that's got all four in one color. You might have a tile that's two and two, or four different, or three and one, whatever, right? The different combinations of colored ghosts on these tiles in the four corners. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then you're going to lay them down, and then you are trying to create a chain. You're trying to connect as many of the same color together in a continuous chain on the table as you're laying these things down. Okay. All right. But occasionally, but some of the tiles have, you put it down that has a special power, and the power might be where you play this tile, and then you can use the power on that one to rotate any other tile out there on the board, or you can use that power to swap any two tiles, or you can use that power to take a tile from your hand and replace something already out there with another tile from your hand. So just some ways to mess with people, right? But then you also have a haunted house tile. And a haunted house is the same size as a regular tile, but instead of having four ghosts on it, it has four windows in it, four holes in it.
Okay.
Something just fell upstairs.
It didn't sound good.
I hope everybody's okay.
I didn't hear glass breaking, so it's
probably fine.
The kids are in bed, so.
So yeah, they're good. What you can do is you can put down that's your haunted house. You can put that tile down on top of existing tiles, and that locks them in place, and they can't be changed. So you can put that down on top of one tile, or you can put it straddling two tiles. You can even put it straddling four tiles, and you can lock four tiles in place and protect them. And of course, you can also at any time as your turn, you can move your haunted house somewhere else if you want to. And you just play until all the tiles run out, and whoever has the most connected ghosts wins. But the one extra thing that's really cool about this is that there are also little character tokens that you can throw down. You can put down the little kids, and if you put the little kids down there in your ghost's chain, then that gets you an extra 3 points. But if you put the ghost hunter down there, then turns it into a minus 3 points.
Okay.
And if you put down, there's a tombstone, you put down a tombstone, and that actually blocks a path. So if you have a long string, a 20 ghosts in a row, you poke that tombstone down, it's going to cut it in half, and it interrupts the flow of a chain. And just really, really simple mechanical stuff. And we just had a blast with it.
Good to know.
Really impressed.
I'll have to check that out. That'll probably be at Origins.
They probably will. Yeah, yeah. If you can pick that up for a good price, I bet your kids will love that. And it's really, really easy. And you could even play without special tokens or special powers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Just try and line up the ghosts. Right. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Which I'm sure your kids would love. I think it's called Ghosts, Graveyards, and Haunted Houses.
Cool. Okay.
I like that a lot.
Way to call it like they see it.
Yeah. Right. The other game that we played, four of us, was the Goonies adventure game, Goonies cooperative adventure game by some guys we know. I don't remember their names though.
It's Ben Pinchback and He Who Must Not Be Named.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Voldemat.
It's pretty good.
Right off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, so we play the Goonies adventure game. It's a co-op adventure game. Players, you take on the role of one of the Goonies, and you are trying to uncover five treasures before the Fratellis all come out and win, or before you get too many obstacles in your way of completing one of the treasures. So I'll start off right off the bat by saying we failed miserably. Like, miserably. Like, turn three, we were done. We were out.
Them Fratellis are good.
Yeah. So, and what, but the thing that I don't know is whether, and so, like, we failed so early that it kind of wasn't very fun.
So you're wondering if you just screwed something up?
Did we mess up a rule? Did we get a bad shuffle? I don't know. When we went back through the rules a little bit, and I think we got everything right, so it might have just been a real bad shuffle. I don't really know. It's hard to say.
And that can certainly, I mean, unfortunately that can happen sometimes. And of course that always happens on your first play, right? Not
yeah,
your fifth
right.
play.
Now the other thing though is that we almost lost on turn one and like we got turn one and then we looked back at that and we're like, oh gosh, if we had made one different decision, we would have just lost at the end of turn one. And that was a real bummer to see that. And to feel like again, I've only played it the one time, and so my judgment, I'm sure, is bad, and I'm sure that the reality of many plays and lots of playtesting is different, but it felt like that could happen all the time. So I feel like I'm missing something, right?
Right. If you're not, if there truly is something broken, it's probably Matt's fault.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, in three turns, I think we managed to uncover one treasure, and we had four Fratellis out. Four Fratellis? No, we had three Fratelli cards out.
What's the game time on that supposed to be?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
Okay.
I want to say like 30, 45 minutes.
Okay.
And it was probably about 20 minutes in.
Okay. So turn three wasn't like 10 minutes in.
No. Fair enough. No, it would have been a lot faster if we'd played it before, of course. But one of the really neat things that they do with that surprised me is that it's a co-op game. And when I think of co-op game, everybody takes an individual turn, right?
Right.
But the thing they do is that everybody, you know, on a turn, everybody has a certain number of things they can do per player. But you all do that stuff together at the same time in one big team action. So everybody basically acts at the same time, and you talked as a group about what each person wants to do before you do it. And so there's a lot of strategizing and a lot of planning involved in that. And you might say, hey, I can do this, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe, what do you guys think? If I hold back, then I'm going to have more options on the next turn, and that actually benefits everybody as a whole because we're going to be able to get more cards in. It was interesting. To be frank, I think there are some real graphic design problems with the game, and that's not Matt and Ben's fault, of course.
No, they have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the graphic design is pretty basic, and in some ways I found it actually super confusing, and I had trouble understanding, in some cases, what icon I was supposed to be using in order to complete an obstacle, I should be looking at, and that might have been part of what we were doing wrong, honestly.
Right. Well, that's too bad, because obviously Matt and Ben, we both know, are top notch. So.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, maybe it's the kind of thing that I should play with them sometime, so that I, you know, or somebody who's at least more experienced with it, so I can kind of get my head around it a little bit better. But I think mechanically it definitely is good, and like I said, I love that team turn aspect.
I think that's really clever.
That's super, super cool. That is super, super cool. And I hope that's the kind of thing that they or future designers build off of. Cause that's the kind of thing that like a foundational concept that I think could really expand and really yeah. become a whole, I don't want to say a new genre, but a whole new branch on the co-op
team
tree.
Co-op, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was really brilliant. Anyway, so those are the games that I've played lately. I had a couple of good gaming weeks recently. So
sounds like it.
That's been nice.
Awesome. Well,
and played Outlawed again because that game is amazing.
That game is amazing.
Right.
Well, let's talk about a topic.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So you had suggested, we went back and forth and we came up with talking about time as a resource. It's something we talked about a long, long time ago, but that was a long time ago. So,
in a different house.
Yeah, it was literally in a different house.
Yeah.
So now we're going to talk about it again, and it's going to be amazing. So yeah.
Yeah, time is a resource. And this was on my mind because the ranch expansion for Saloon Tycoon has ranch points that are kind of in some ways are a turn time into a currency, or at least turn count into a currency.
Right.
And I think when I think of time as a resource, or I think about turn count is how I generally imagine this. That's a generalization, of course, and I know there are different ways to approach that. But turn count, it at a fundamental level, I often think of that time and turn count as kind of equals for how long it's going to take to accomplish something, or how far into the game do I need to get these things done. But of course, that's not the only way to do that.
No, I mean, my first thought is patchwork. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten
I still
that?
Have not played that.
Oh, you got to get that. You guys will love that. So that's two player. When I buy something, it costs time. And sometimes it costs buttons. So when I buy something in time means that, I have to move my piece, that far ahead on the track, right? Mm-hmm. Which what that does is that means that the next player gets to go until they mm-hmm. pass me, right?
Yeah. That's kind of the Tokaido method.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And I really like that, because it basically makes time in that case a currency, right? Not just mm-hmm. a resource, but a real currency.
Sure.
And I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of enamored with the idea of being able to save up time, like to some sort of game with time control where like I can save up time to then take big actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a game where you're creating stuff, right? Like you're creating things that are easy to create and I'm creating things that are hard and they take longer, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
What's that Bowie line? Time can save me, but I can't save time.
Something like that.
Yeah.
If I could save time in a bottle, you know. Is that Jim Croce?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
If I could save time in a bottle. All right, that's enough.
The first thing that I won't do. Yeah, I always thought that was the worst song. Like, I hated that song. Yeah. My dad and I would listen to these old songs, and whenever that one came on, I was always like, ah, play Henry VIII again. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So time. So, boy, yeah, Jim Croce just wrecked my whole train of thought.
He does that.
Yeah.
He's so dreamy.
Time as a resource. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you could just have a game where time is represented by a number of cubes, and that's just it's a resource, and that resource is labeled time, right? But I think when you think about it as in the Tokaido patchwork way, where, you know, if I'm going to jump way ahead, then I'm going to give my opponent more time to do other things, right? More turns, and then also my way of thinking of it is as a turn counter as well. At every turn, every time I don't do something, I'm going to get one more time point or turn point or whatever you want to call it, and I'm saving them up hopefully so I can do more later. You know, So can we brainstorm a quick game idea here? Is that's how we like to do these things, right? Sometimes when we're talking about mechanics and features.
Yeah.
Let's think of time in a bottle.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm. So do we have cubes that represent time that we're just tossing into a bottle?
We should actually put them in a bottle.
We should. Yeah.
I think that. So the point of that song is the point of the Jim Croce song is he wants to save every day until eternity passes away.
Yeah.
And then spend it with you, specifically with Rob Couch, is what he was saying.
But, me, Croce and Couch. it's our, you know,
obviously
our new wave band.
Yeah,
that we're gonna start.
That would be the best.
Yeah,
I think Jim Croce's dead, but
well, he's ghost. That's right.
Couch and Croce's ghost. Oh, so anyway. What's happening? So let's think about, you've got this bottled of time, right? Are there different types of time in the bottle? Like, right, is it just time that you're putting in a bottle? Or are you putting, like, what I love to think is that you're influencing something, right? So as the bottle fills up with these cubes of different colors or something, right? Mm-hmm. So you're creating something, you know? Think okay. of those like sand bottles.
Yeah.
You know?
And the, yeah, and the grains will never be parted again.
Is that a thing?
That's what they say, right? It's just like, you know, the two colors will come together and they can never be separated again, just like these two people who've fallen in love.
What?
Yeah. Look. That's
what the hell is happening?
That's why people pour sand into a bottle in a wedding. That's what they do. It's a thing.
But all you have to do is break the bottle and they separate.
Well, look. Jason, I don't want to close my eyes, all right? I don't want to fall asleep.
Because well,
I'd miss you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So
this just went off the rails.
Okay. Come on. Come on. We got to get back in time. So to be honest, I don't know what's happening. I feel like we're really failing at this, but I still feel like I'm having fun and yeah, I don't really care.
I don't know what even happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So song references aside. let's just take a freeze frame for a second here and think about what we're doing with this mechanic. But I do like the idea of putting the time cubes in
a
bottle.
I do too,
especially the different colored cubes to force something to happen, you know.
Okay.
That doesn't have to do with sand.
So then I think what we need is I think this needs to be an opaque bottle. So you're putting these things in there and you don't know maybe you don't know what's going to come out.
Maybe it ruins the aesthetic, but okay.
Yeah, well that's you know.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to try and shake, because at some point you have to shake this stuff back out. So you got to shake it off. Yeah. Shake it off, you know?
Shake it off, yeah. Well, and I'm just kind of picturing that as they fall through, thinking of grains of sand, like grains of sand through an hourglass, like these are the days of our lives. But so, I mean, really, like that's...
Yeah, that's not a song though, but...
It's the opening credits, so shut up. There's music and they're talking.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
But at some point you're going to have to shake a cube out of that bottle, right?
Well, you could shake it like a Polaroid picture. I said that to my kid and he was like, Dad, I don't know what that is. It was really sad. Anyways.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Oh boy. Maybe I should just pitch a different game, huh? We should just cut our losses and,
Builders, tell us about your awesome game idea that involves time in a bottle.
It needs to feature a bottle in some way prominently
in time, and you know it doesn't need to specifically mention Jim Croce, but maybe if you were crocheting, that would be good.
Crocheting with Croce,
that was a missed opportunity in his lifetime.
Was. I mean, that guy.
Why did he even start a band?
Should have made a book about crocheting with crochet patterns.
Yeah. Well,
crochet guitar.
Much like as the big wheel keeps on turning, we should probably get moving in the show.
All right. This was a disaster.
I told you when the show started, I said this show is going off the rails. I can feel it.
Yeah. I'm just going to pitch a game then.
We're just going to scrap that.
We're just going to scrap that because I don't care. we're not even drinking, ladies and gentlemen. We're not even drinking.
You would think we are.
Yeah,
but we're not. This is what happens when you go back to work for the first day after a long
weekend.
After
a long weekend. I was a four-day weekend for me. I spent all day Sunday putting together IKEA furniture. All day. From 9:30 a.m. till about 6 at night putting together IKEA furniture.
Well, you know, really, because you had the extra day, though, I mean, what was fortunate was that time was on your side.
It was.
Yes, it is. So... Yes.
Okay. Putting a button on that. I'm going to pitch a game now.
You're going to try.
I'm going to try. Here it comes. This game is called Grill Masters, okay? Because it's summer and it was Memorial Day weekend and you know everybody was out barbecuing and that's what I was in the mood for, okay?
You know, if you make a game about grilling, and then it goes really well.
Uh-huh.
And you decide to make a game.
Yes.
Expansion with salad.
Uh-huh.
It could be.
Yeah.
What could your salad expansion be called?
I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know.
It could be the ranch expansion.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, pitch your dumb game.
It's called Grill Masters, Jason.
Grill Masters. Isn't there a game called Dice Masters? So basically you just stole that. Okay, go ahead.
There's no dice in the game, though.
Okay.
Well. Actually, when I was originally working on the game, there were dice in it. And then I said, you know what? I actually wanted to make this game plausible, so I don't want a bunch of custom dice. So I'm gonna change it.
I don't want to have a bunch of custom dice.
Yeah. So in a weird way, this is kind of an evolution of Epic Monster Tea Party. And I think as I explain how this game works, that will make sense. That will begin to make sense to people who remember how Epic Monster Tea Party works. I don't know if you remember or not. It's been years.
I remember. I love that game.
All right. Good. As do I. I hope that Kickstarter launches someday.
You should hold your breath now.
Nope. Grill Masters. So players are trying to make the most delicious grilled foods. And I'm saying foods because it's not all meat. I mean, there's meat in there, but you know, you can also grill vegetables, right?
Yes.
In fact, I've got a list here and I want to fill it out. I'm thinking, foods. You've got starting with meats, hot dogs, hamburgers, steak, chicken, pork chops, and ribs. I've also got, here for veggies, zucchini, asparagus. I love grilled asparagus. Oh man.
I love grilled peppers. Can you throw that in there?
Grilled peppers I can get in there. Corn on the cob.
Grilled corn on the cob is amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, recommendations on that from the builders. I would really appreciate more kinds of foods added in there. And I want an even split between meats and vegetables. And really, I mean, I don't know. I've never grilled a fruit before. Is there,
yeah, dude,
is there a thing there?
I make chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
With grilled pineapple.
Yeah.
Some Hawaiian sauce on them.
Of course. I've had grilled pineapple.
Grilled pineapple is good.
In fact, I don't like pineapple, but grilled pineapple is great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially you put some, what is that? I can't remember what the, there's a bottle. It's Hawaiian sauce. Basically sure. It's one of the main companies that makes all the different kinds of sauces for cooking and grilling. Sure. And Lowry. That's
Lowry.
What it is. Yeah. And it's so good.
Okay.
So good.
I got you. Do. Nope.
That's not the song. Sweet Caroline.
Anyway. We have components here. We've got a deck of food cards. I'm going to call them grill cards, whatever. A deck of cards that have different foods that you're going to want to grill on them. And I don't know how many of those cards there are. Let's say it's a deck 52 cards. Okay. We'll just say that, throwing that out there. I don't know if that's going to work. That's what we're going to say. Okay. You've also got a bag, a fabric bag, and inside that bag are a bunch of tokens. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just thinking like cardboard chits are fine. You could do like cubes or something, but I think like cardboard chits are going to be better because you're going to be able to put a little picture on there.
Right.
Okay. And I don't know how many of those are there. Are there 20? Are there 50? I don't know yet.
You designed the game.
I'm not sure yet. This is still in the exploration phase here. But those cardboard chits represent six different kinds of condiments. And condiments is a pretty broad word, not necessarily applicable in every case. But I'm going to tell you what these six things are here. Okay. We've got hot sauce. We've got barbecue sauce. These are things that you would put on the items while you're grilling them. Okay. We've got herbs, like mixed herbs, an herb medley, so to speak. Salt and pepper. Cheese.
So salt and pepper. You're in effect.
And bacon. Okay.
Yes.
Because bacon is not to be grilled on its own. Bacon is something you add to grilled things.
Everything.
Right. Okay. So those are six. Hot sauce, barbecue sauce, cheese, salt, pepper, bacon, and herbs. Okay. Right. All right. And there is not an even number of each of these in the bag.
Oh, you know, there's probably the most bacon.
I think there's the most herbs and there's the least hot sauce. I'm not sure where everything else falls in there.
Bacon should be lots.
The other thing is, well, I'm going to get to this here. Okay, so slow down. Okay. Slow down. Slow down, Jason. Slow down. Slow down. Are you slowed down?
I'm slow.
All right.
Slow and low.
It is the tempo. So every player also is going to have their own like player board, and that is their grill. Okay. That is their grill where they're grilling their good stuffs. All right. The grill it's like a little player. I don't want to say tableau because we've learned that tableau is the wrong term. So we're going to call it a board.
Player board.
Okay. It's a player board.
It's a player board.
It's got spaces on it for four cards.
Four.
And then you've got what looks like a tray, like utensil tray. Cause when you're at the grill, you want something like a plate or a tray to put your tongs and stuff on, right?
You need tongs.
The tongs would be printed on there. I've got a game with tongs. It's called Simple Surgery. Okay.
This is a better game with tongs.
It doesn't fit the game, Jason.
How would you feel if you could have something in 3D, but instead it was just printed flat on a card?
But it serves no purpose, Jason. Listen to me.
What if
listen
you picked it up with the tongs?
Okay, listen. Okay, if you want tongs, you can have tongs. So everybody has their board with the space that's their grill for the four spaces for cards and a, like an area where they're going to put some of those the extra condiment tokens. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, setting up the game, you're gonna give everybody that stuff. You're gonna shuffle the deck of food cards. You can deal everybody five cards. Okay. Everybody gets five grill cards. Then you do a round of drafting. Pick one, pass the left. Pick one, pass the left. Till everybody's got four cards on their grill. The extra cards go down on the table face up. Okay.
Okay.
The draw deck is put face down next to those. All the extra cards. All right. Now, what you do is you put all the tokens in the bag and you shake them up, shake it, and you pass the bag around. Everybody draws two tokens out of there. Okay, you keep one, put that in your extra tray, your little utensil tray, and then give your second one to the player on your right. And now everybody starts with two tokens in their little starting tray. Okay, you with me? Okay, now let's talk about what's on these food cards. These food cards have some information on them. Number one, they say what kind of food this is. Number two, they have a grill track, we're going to call it a time track. That time track has up to six spaces, anywhere from three to six spaces on it. Excuse me, anywhere from four to six spaces on it, okay? And you're also going to have a cube, and you're going to have a cube on those tracks. And every time you start with a new piece of food, you put that cube on the first space in that track. And that track basically is going to identify when that food is done, when it's done cooking, okay? Different foods are going to need more time in the grill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in every turn, that cube moves up one space. Now, if something has six spaces on it, it's actually going to be perfectly cooked at space number five. Okay. If it's before space number five, then it's undercooked. That you're not going to be able to score that. It's not done. But if you get it to space five, and different foods are going to have different spaces on different number of spaces on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in maybe even a different peaks. We're going to call that a peak space or the fully cooked space. They might be in different positions. Okay. But if you go past that, then it's overcooked. Okay. But it might, mm-hmm. you know, a little overcooked might still be okay. You might still be able to score it if it's overcooked. If it's undercooked, nobody wants that. Nobody's going to eat that.
There are people.
Well, so we can talk about those people in a minute, though, Jason. Let me get back to them.
Oh, great.
But if something goes past the end of the track, if it goes past the end of the track, then it's burnt and you lose it. You're not going to be able to score it. It's wasted, right? Burned to a crisp. Nobody's going to eat that.
Nope.
Except this one woman we work with, but we're not going to talk about her.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so every turn, those things tick up. Now, the other thing that you're going to do at the start of every turn, so we've got everybody set up now, we're ready to play. We got four food cards on our grill. We've got our cubes placed on our little time tracks. And we have two of our condiment tokens in our tray. Oh, last piece of information that's on each of those cards is a preferred condiment. Okay, that you know, every single one of these pieces of food, when it's fully cooked, it's worth a certain number of points as just kind of a flat level. But if you can add the preferred condiment to that piece of food, then it's going to give you bonus points.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Like, for example, yeah. A hamburger, you need cheese on a hamburger, right?
Yeah, otherwise, what are you doing?
Right. But you can, so there's also going to be a system for multipliers. And if you can put a whole lot of good condiments on the same thing, you might be able to get more bonus points that kind of stack. But the biggest boost is going to be from getting the preferred condiment onto that thing. Okay?
Right.
Got it. All right. Now, so start of the game. We did all that, did that setup. We're ready to go. Now, first player takes a turn. They reach in that bag and they pull out five tokens and they put them face up on the table for everybody to look at. And then that first player picks one that he wants, puts it in his little tray. And then you go around the table and all the other players take one and they put it in their tray. And then there's just one left face up on the table there. Okay. That guy's just going to stay there for a minute. Now, starting with player one, you have to decide how to resolve your tokens. You have three options. Number one, you can place those is the tokens. You can do this for all the tokens you have. You can place it directly onto a food. Once it's on a food, it's been applied to the food. It can't be removed. It's done. It's used up, right?
Well, yeah.
Right. Number two, you could choose to leave it in your tray for your next turn in case you want to maybe save that condiment for later, but you can never have more than three condiment tokens in your tray at any given time because it's just not big enough. Or, as I bump the table, you can discard that condiment back to the bag to use its special power.
Oh.
Okay. So I've got powers for five out of the six of these. I'm not sure. I'm still working on developing these ideas. So we're going to talk about starting with herbs. Okay. You can discard the herbs to draw a new token from the bag. Okay. It's just a quick swap.
Yep.
But once you grab that thing, you can't then take the action with that one. It's a one action thing.
Right.
But you might have three tokens you can use powers for. So, okay. Number two, bacon. You can score one overcooked item this turn as if it was a fully cooked item.
Right.
Because bacon makes everything better, man.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so even if it's a little overcooked, the bacon makes it good. And so you score it. Any other item this turn scores it as at full value. Salt and pepper. Use the salt and pepper to take that unclaimed token that's still out there.
Oh, nice.
So that might be a little bit better than drawing a new one because you know exactly what you're getting.
Right.
Right. Okay. Cheese allows you to score one undercooked item at 75% of the full score.
Okay.
Because cheese covers a lot up. You know, it's an overpowering flavor.
You don't realize that you're going to get sick till afterwards.
Exactly, because of the cheese, because there's so much cheese on it, right?
Yeah.
Hot sauce allows you to advance all, you turn up the heat, so it allows you to advance all the markers that are currently on your grill up one space.
Okay.
So cook things a little bit faster from the hot sauce. Okay. Barbecue sauce is the thing that I'm not sure what the power to use with that yet. Okay. But that's kind of where I am right now. All right. And so now everybody then applies their condiments, keeps them in the tray, or they use those actions, and you do whatever you're going to do. And so player one does that, then two, then three, then four around the table. After that, then let me double check my turn order here to make sure I have that right. Then everybody advances their cubes up one space. Okay. And only after everybody's advanced, that's the advance of the cook. And then you score. Anything that is fully cooked or overcooked, you can score at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything that's undercooked still has to stay there unless you've got the cheese allows you to score it anyway. Okay. So you score that stuff. I just knocked some stuff over. I promise I'm not drinking. score that stuff. You advance your points up the turn. Now, the last step here is if you've scored anything on your grill, you've got empty spaces, okay? Now you need to replenish from the cards that are face up on the table. Whoever at the end of this has the lowest score gets to replenish first.
Okay.
Okay, so they take one and put it into an empty slot, and then a new card comes out off the top of the deck. And they keep doing that until their grill is full, and then it goes on with the player who's next lowest on the score and so on up. Okay?
Okay.
And then once all that's done, then you pass the bag of tokens to the player on the left, and you do it all again. And mm-hmm. I think you're going to... I'm not sure what the end game is. Maybe you're playing to a certain point value. Maybe you play till all the tokens. Oh, the other thing. So when you're using a special power, the token goes back in the bag. But when you put it onto a grilled item and then you score that, the food card and the token go into the game box. They're out of the game because you've used it up. So maybe the game ends when all the condiments are done. Or maybe the game ends when all the food cards are used up. So I'm not sure what the game end scenario there is. But that's the basic idea.
In the grill, the cooking tokens, those are on my player board. Like I have one for each thing.
Yes.
Right. So what if barbecue sauce, cause like when you put barbecue, you can't just put barbecue sauce on one thing, right?
You can kind of slather it across the whole grill.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if, when you throw away the barbecue sauce to use its power, it allows you to, you remove all condiments from yours, right? So you can't have any other condiments on there. You lose those if you have them.
Oh, wipes out all existing condiments.
Right, but it lets you rearrange your cooking tokens to make, right? So that basically, if something, you just put something on that's worth a lot of points and you've got something that's not worth a lot of points, it's almost done, slather it all with barbecue sauce and swap it. You know what I mean? Basically rearrange those tokens. Or maybe just swap two.
Sure,
something
sure.
That allows you to...
Swap the position of those pieces.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a neat idea.
So, just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like that idea thematically, the barbecue sauce. You just swipe it across the whole thing.
You can't put it on just a little bit.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah, right. You need to lay that crap on there.
And who's like, well, I'm making some of this, and then like one piece of barbecued chicken, right? It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So anyway, so I think that's It was a fun idea to come up with. For anybody who doesn't know, Epic Monster Tea Party, you take a meeple out of the bag, and then you either try and keep him to score for points, or you squish him to use a special power. And that special power allows you to do different things, like maybe steal from other players, or dump your teacup, or whatever, like different things. So that idea of you take a thing out of a bag, and then you either keep it or you get rid of it to do something else. That's kind of the core concept of Monster Tea Party, and I've always liked that a lot, and I've been trying for a long time now to think of kind of what's the next step in that creatively for me.
Right.
And I think this is getting there. This is getting in that direction. Yeah, also couldn't find any games on BGG called Grill Masters or Barbecue Masters or anything, so I think I'm clear on that name.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's the whole pitch.
All right.
Yeah.
You should prototype that. That'd be fun.
Yeah. It's kind of simple, and I'm kind of attracted to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's the thing to get me out of a little bit of a design funk here. A couple of Twitter things.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, all right. We have three comments here. From VC, he says, Bozo Bowlers, the clown expansion. That would be a pretty good name for...
That is.
Yeah.
Not as good as the ranch expansion.
The ranch, no, not true, but yeah. okay, go for the game. Tom says, who would win in a staring contest between Marty Feldman and Ben Tupin? I know who Marty Feldman is, but I don't know who Ben Tupin, might be Tupin, is.
I know the name Marty Feldman, but I don't know who that actually is.
He was a kind of a C-list character, actor, guy in the 80s who had big bulging bug eyes. That was okay. Kind of his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Tupin, I don't know. I guess we do a Google image search.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, do it. All right. This is the moment of Googling silence.
Hey, you earned this, VC.
Yeah, well,
good job.
Well, this one's from Tom Gerganis. Ben Tupin.
I think Ben Tupin loses because his eyes are so crossed, he can't see anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if we were more familiar with those guys, that would be an interesting conversation.
Oh.
Marty Feldman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
I'm
guy.
I'm voting for Marty Feldman.
Yeah, I like that guy. Oh, so he's like, his guy's, the, yeah, right. Marty Feldman, yeah, I think Marty Feldman wins. He's the one that I'm familiar with. Anyway, one other here from Tom, he says, what is your least favorite board game mechanic to design around? What do you think?
Oh gosh. So that's a hard question because like, I don't design around it. I just don't use
just
it.
Just don't use it. Yeah.
You know what I hate having to avoid all the time that I'd love to use in a game, but it's so hard to use because it's expensive. It's okay. Custom dice.
Yeah.
I always want to make a game with sure. custom dice.
Yeah.
But like, it's I can never practical. Make it work because it's expensive, you know?
Yeah. 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 That's a good point. I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Like I can name things that I want to use or that I want to understand better, but I just don't and haven't been able to figure it out. Things like bluffing and
right.
you know, bidding. I just haven't, you know, get my head around that or do that successfully. Even drafting, I'm yeah. not good at.
Twister. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I got drafting all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one for me. I can just think of things that I would like to be able to do better, but can't. So, yeah, I'm gonna copy you and say dice, custom dice.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever. That's enough, huh?
Listen, I don't know how the builders felt
yeah.
about the show, but I mean, I can say for myself, I had the time of my life. I mean, really. So, yeah, I never felt this way before.
And who do you owe it all to?
I owe it all to you.
Yeah, that's right, you do. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. We appreciate you wasting your time with us because, boy, was it a waste of time. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg, @JASlingerland, @poorly_design, 770-TEL-BTG, buildinggamepodcast.com, buy our games at the Game Crafter, and buildinggamepodcast.com, blah, blah, blah. Jason, We're going to wrap up tonight with some free association.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to list you, read you a list of 10 words here, and you're going to tell me the first thing that pops in your mind, okay? Okay.
This could be really telling, Bill Nurse.
Okay. All right. So you ready?
Yep.
Clear your mind.
Clear your mind. All right.
Frilly.
What?
Frilly. F-R-I-L. Frilly.
Doily.
Punk.
Rock.
Fortified.
Castle.
Scathing.
Review.
Melted.
Face.
Carriage.
House.
Slow.
Turn.
Emerald.
City.
Sensor.
Reprocessing.
That's
what popped into my head. I'm sorry.
Right. No, that's fine. There's no wrong answers here. Shock.
And awe.
All right. There you go. That is your free association for today.
Right. For just for reference, people don't think I'm totally crazy. When you said face, the first thing that popped into my head was the dude's face melting from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
No, from...
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Because I just happened to see a clip of that like 2 days ago. So yeah, that's why I said face melting.
That's great. Okay. So, yeah. There you go.
Hey, if anybody is a freelance psychologist, feel free to make some judgments on
evaluate
and let me know what you think.
Yeah. I like that one. Let's do that one again.
That was fun.
Yeah. All right. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
I retweeted all your tweets and stuff.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. We'll see if we get any. I wish people would send us more...
stupid stuff?
More stupid stuff, right?
Yeah.
Why, you know, you don't have to just
send the stupid stuff.
Send us stupid things. We're happy
it's
to read
stupid,
stupid things.
Show.
Yeah, stupid things are great. We want stupid things. Come on.
Say stupid things to me.
And then we will read them on the podcast and we will be stupid in return.